This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You alone
are my redemption. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that we can sing that reigning o'er the earth, Father, for the wondrous things that you've done for us and for how marvelous you are, Father. And we pray that may our hearts just leap forth and rejoice and just be glad in the singing of this song, Lord. And may we live this on a daily basis, Father, that we live to raise your voice and to raise your name, Father, so that your name might indeed reign in all the earth. We pray, Lord, that as we go to another segment of this service today, Lord, we pray that you might still speak to us, and that your name and your presence might be glorified and might be among us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Great. How's everyone? Thumbs up. Thank you. So you might be pleased to know I'm not preaching today. We're having a different kind of sermon. We'll be sharing testimonies today. So it will be you guys coming here to share your testimonies and to speak. So how we're going to do that is, I would request that when you're ready, when you want to share something, you can come and sit in one of these rows so that we have a continuous flow of people. On these rows as well, you find like this hand sanitizer so you can hand sanitize your hands in case you want to touch this, because if all of us touch this, it might be a hot spot. And so when you're just ready, please come forward to share your testimony. And we'll do that. But before we actually start the process, so for me to give you more time to think about what you'd like to share today, I'd also just want to remind us of what a testimony is and what we're actually doing today. So a testimony really is very simply just a telling of what God has done for you or in your life. So it can be of how God has healed you. It can be a story of how you came to know Jesus, how you came to be a believer, or anything really that has happened in your life that you can see God's hand working through. So that's what we'll be doing today. We want to listen to those. Like, what has God done for you? What has God done through you? And what has God done in you? What has changed in you since you became a Christian? And how has he used you to help other people? And why is it important that we actually do this? Why should we share testimonies in the first place? There's so many reasons, but I only had four for today, and I'll quickly run through them before we actually start the actual sharing of testimonies. The first one, I believe, is when we share testimonies, it helps us to glorify the name of God. Because when I talk about what God has done in my life, sometimes we'd be like, wow, how is that even possible that that can happen? And we do realize in that instance that it's only God who can do certain things. And as a result, we praise the name of God. So sharing testimonies help us to do that. The second thing why it's important to share testimonies is that it reminds us of what God has done in us and for us. Sometimes when you find yourself in a very hard situation, our tendency is to forget God's goodness and what God is really about to do. We forget that those times we were in very hard circumstances and how God helped us to get over those circumstances and be to a new place. But when we come to a time when we share testimonies, when we reflect back at our lives, we are reminded of what God has done for us and what he can do, and we trust in him that even that situation that we're currently in, he can still do the same. And the third reason I have for today why we share testimonies is that it encourages us. And this is kind of, there's many things linked to this. But one of it, which I think is very important for us today, is when we come here, some of us, we don't see each other during the week. So we don't know what we struggle with on a personal basis. And when we come here, we're just Christians, we sing good songs, and we go back home. And then next week we come, and it's the same. But during the week, there's so many things that happen to us. We go through so many things. We like in certain things. And when we come here to share a testimony, it's a testimony of how God healed me, or a testimony of how God changed something in me, my desires. The first thing is you'll be able to relate with me, because you know that I also have struggles in my life. You also know that there's some things that I've done in the past which God saved me from. And so it would be like, for someone who's listening to you, they'll be like, that person went through almost the same thing that I did. Maybe this is not the end for me. There's hope for me as well. So it encourages someone else to know there's hope for what they're going through, but also for us to know, like, all around us, the people that we see around us, we're also going through other things, we're also struggling with things, but God is there, and he'll see us through the end. And because of that, it kind of leads to the fourth reason that I had today, which is sharing testimonies unifies us. Because once we know that we all have struggles, that we all go through certain things, and God has taken us by the hand and gotten us through certain things, we kind of have a common thing to unite us. We kind of have a common, starting point. We realize that we all started from somewhere, and we're fighting towards all of us getting better in Christ, getting to know Jesus more, and there's unity in that. So that's why we're doing this. That's why I want to listen to each other today, like, what has God done in your life? So to think about it, you can think of it like, what has God done for you? It could be, how has God healed you, maybe? Did you have something? Did you go for a certain period in your life and God healed you? Or what God has done through you? Did he use you to bring the gospel to another person who got saved or something? Or what God has done also in you? Like, what has changed your desires since you became a Christian? Has there been any change within you? We can think about those, and we'll be glad to share them today. But one question which might guide us, if you really want to have a question to think about once you come to speak here, is really to share your experience, how you've experienced God lately. Even during this service, if you were in this service, there's a moment that you experienced God maybe speaking to you, would also want to hear that. Does that sound good? Thank you. Thank you so much for that, yes. Okay, so that's what we're going to do. But to start with, Albert is going to speak first, but please, while he's speaking, if you have something to share, you can just come and take a seat on the front rows, and then we'll continue like that. So it's Albert first. Yeah, you use this one, yes.
Oh. Oi. Yeah, I just came to Geoffrey during the worship because God was speaking to me. I didn't know that it was testimony day, so then I'm not alone. But I want to share what God was sharing to me during service later. I want to share a little testimony, one very recently. A friend of mine, he is going to work in, how's it called? As an evangelist, and then he needs support, money every month. He asked me, Albert, do you want to support me financially? And I would have loved to, but I'm supporting already some people, so I was like, oh, I'm going to get married next year, you know, and you know what I mean, like, can I afford to support him? But he came over one evening, and like a few weeks ago, to share what he is going to do, his work, whole presentation, never saw something as prepared as he did, very Dutch. But during he was speaking, before I was thinking, oh, I'm going to reduce my monthly giving to the other three people I give to, and then I have a little spare money so I can support him as well. So I was just making compromises before he was coming. And then during that evening, all the time in my head, I got a certain amount of money, something like 70 euros in my head, the whole evening, 4 to 5 times. I was like, oh, this is so much money. But like, yeah, it came back all the time. And then at the end, he had like a whole like calculation, like how much he needs to like live off, you know. And that was exactly the amount of money I had in my head the whole time, just spot on. It was something with a 5 in it even. So how is that possible? So that was so he showed the number. I was like, it was in Dutch, but I said like, stop. And he was shocked because he thought it was so much. But I was like, what, it's so cool that God just, yeah, that was super cool. For me, it was confirmation that God says, Albert, you can give this money to him, and I will provide for money in your giving for your wedding. And just give it, and I will give. This give and it shall be given is written. So it was for me an encouragement to not rely on my own intuition of, like, reduce. I didn't reduce the other people. That was just super cool. And he was encouraged that his work, what he is doing as a missionary, that it's good, you know? So that was so cool. Okay, so that was the testimony. The vision I got when during worship. So this is little switching gears. Somebody was climbing a tree. He was doing that to look in the future. And it was really a deed of, like, trying to have control in the future, trying to, yeah, I don't know in what way, maybe horoscope or maybe asking people for, you know what I mean, like really trying to see what's in the future by own abilities. But God was telling that this person needs to rely on God, and that God has a beautiful future for this person, and that they don't need to rely on their own ways, if that makes sense. So verse 105 says, your word is a lamp on my foot and a light on my path. So it says that there is light wherever you go. It's not a spotlight on us being 80 or 90 years old, but it's a light for the first few steps. So God will provide the first few steps and then continuing. And that was what he was telling me. So if this is for somebody, just rely on God, and he has a beautiful future for you.
Thank you, Albert. I think Femi seems ready, so it'll be Femi. So while she's talking, if you still have something, please, you can make your way to the front. I see another one is coming. Great.
Praise the Lord. Okay, I would like blessing will always urgers. Back home, when you say praise the Lord, you have to respond. Yes, so praise the Lord, and you respond, hallelujah, amen. While Geoffrey was sharing, the Holy Spirit brought to remembrance one of my commitment to him, and I'll start my testimony with that. But first, I want to read James 1, which is the popular scriptures that urges us to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptations. James 1:2. And verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, when you pass through trials and temptations, and you don't know what to do, he said, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Amen. First, I want to thank God for the privilege to stand here to testify. And I want to appreciate him for my daughter. She's 7. Oh, she was 7 2 weeks ago, and when we had her, she had what the doctors call asphyxia. She didn't cry, she was lifeless, she was on her way to the beyond, and we were scared, really scared. She was the first we had, and before we had her, we really wanted to have children as soon as we got married, but it never happened until after 3 years. And then now that she's coming, she's almost passing away, so we were scared. And then we started praying. She was born in an hospital. They didn't have the facility to take care of her, which is common in Africa and in Nigeria in particular. So I left her mom in an hospital, took her to another hospital for her to be attended to. And she was in intensive care. She never came back to life, and we raised an altar of prayer. And suddenly she made a cry. Now, I wasn't there when she made a cry. The doctor came out and said, "Your daughter cried." Now, it appeared as if he lied, because she never cried again until after about 3 months. And at a point, we felt the doctors too were not sure of what could happen. And they didn't know what to tell us. And they told us, "You can go home. She'll be fine." And then we got home and she wasn't just fine. And we kept praying. Thank God for the brethren we had. And thank God for the God we serve. And the process, she started from just a shout to two shouts. You know, we count sometimes. We could keep records. Oh, she shouted once today. No, she shouted twice today. She shouted three times today. And gradually it moved from three shouts to, "She's crying now. Hallelujah." And then I want you to know this, that when God moves you through, when God moves you through some of these processes, it might not be about you, really. He might just be building you up for some other person, or probably he has an assignment for you. And just as the scripture says, that all that he wants to do is to allow that temptation to do its perfect work, and then you'll be perfected. We never knew that we were starting a journey, and we've been on that journey for 7 years now. She took her first independent step when she was 5. And then one day I sat down and I was crying, you know, personally. And I was telling God, "God, why?" We did our best to live right. We did our best to not to defile ourselves. Why is this happening? And God told me, the same patience you have to have raising this child is the same patience I've had raising you as a believer. Many times, I want you to do some things, but you just don't do them. It hurts me. You know, when you see your child and you want your child to, bring that, and the child doesn't even seem to understand you, you know. Other children are worth playing around. You want your child to play along, and it looks as if, come on, what's happening? So God has some of his children doing great miracles for him, and he wants us to do same, and some of us were drawing back. We're not doing. He was actually speaking to me and making me experience what his relationship with us is and how we're responding to his love. God has a lot of expectations for us as believers. He has given us a lot of virtues. I look at that girl, I'm excited at her. I'm not giving up on her at all. And that tells you that how much God is not giving up on you and he's not giving up on me. And so, if we are committing to live for him, then we need to step out in faith. We need to charge ourselves to move on. God has a lot of expectations for us. It doesn't end with just being born again. It doesn't end with, "I'm now a believer. I pray and my prayers are answered." The Bible said that we are meant to be witnesses, right? And he gave me that testimony also to be a witness. And I think that's the privilege I have today, to also be a witness of the power of God. Everything the doctor said she might not likely do, she does them. It might not be as perfect as we want, but she's moving towards perfection. The first care was that she wouldn't be able to suck. She started sucking. It took a while. There were concerns, oh, she may not be able to recognize her parents, she might not be able to do this, and gradually she started doing all of those. Now, God gave us grace to be that patient, but God is even more patient than that with us. And I just want to urge us, he really has a lot of expectations of us as his children. And he has so much in store. I look at myself, I have a lot of frailties as a believer, but he has always proven to me that he never leaves his own children alone. I came into the Netherlands about 10 months ago, thereabout. I was almost not coming. He supernaturally made the way. And then I got here. Supernaturally, my family is here now with me. Supernaturally, I must tell you supernaturally. I was running an MBA, now we're rounding it off. And then the job scare came because we're all applying for jobs and all of that. And I'm sharing this last part of my testimony, or let me say first to the last. I'm saying a lot of things together, I'm so sorry. Because there are several kinds of people here, and probably God has different messages for each one of us, so I'll rush through it. And we prayed, and God intervened. Things that some persons will find difficult to do just seem to work in place for us. We got a part-time job that could help us sustain ourselves supernaturally. And somebody stumbled on my CV somewhere and gave it to somebody somewhere. And then suddenly somebody somewhere said, can we talk with this young man? And then I had one interview, just one interview. What he said was that we want to talk with you. We want to have a chat with you. I just thank God because I didn't take it carelessly. I went to the career consultant to ask, look, I didn't apply for a job. I don't even know what to say if I'm asked a question. And then the questions went on and on and on. And then he said, expect to hear from us. And then about a week or two later, I was told, we're going to give you an offer. Do you want it? Now, God is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or think of. Yesterday, I was involved in an accident. I was almost smashing my head, but I smashed my jaw instead. You were surprised why I'm wearing this. Now, I had stitches on, okay? And God told me something after getting out of the whole buhaha, so to say. He said, sometimes when you don't see a miniature of what will have befallen you, you are often ungrateful for what you have. The impact was so hard that I had a crack on my teeth, on one of my tooth, actually, or one of my teeth, yeah, on the tooth. And I went back home, nothing could have stopped my head from making that impact. Somehow, it was my jaw. Just somehow, it was my jaw. Many things God is saving us from that we have no idea of and we're not grateful for. But please be grateful. Be thankful. Be thankful that you can sit here, you can fellowship with brethren, and you can share. Back home in Nigeria, there's some parts of Nigeria that it's not possible to sit together like this, you know, far not. That is even in Nigeria, and that's just a small fracture. But go to the Middle East, it's worse. And it's not about being Africa. Go to Asia. There are places where the gospel cannot even be mentioned. And they are well-to-do and all of that. May the Lord bless us. Thank you very much.
can I say? Hearing a testimony like this, I feel mine is something little, and I feel like going back to sit down. But I would do God a great injustice if I go back to sit down without sharing his goodness upon my life. I basically want to thank God for this guidance. In Psalm 32, verse 8, the Bible says that the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. And for me, this scripture is so vivid and glaring in my life. And for some odd reason, if you feel you are in a situation where you are not hearing from God, you feel God is away from you, that is a lie from the pit of hell, because he will never leave you nor forsake you. I had a very great life in Ghana. I was a banker, so you can imagine. We were forced to wear suits without enough pay. But at least my pay was enough to get me by every now and then. Then one day, I was having my quiet time, Genesis 12, verse 1 specifically. The statement is this: go to the land which I will show you, for there I will be with you. It was a regular quiet time, but I just knew God was talking to me one way or the other. Then I remembered when I was in school during my undergrad period, a roommate of mine who was very prophetic, he had a prophetic grace upon his life. He used to wake up at dawn to pray for nations. He'd be praying, you will see or sense that there's going to be war in Iraq or Syria. Then he's just praying for God to intervene. And I woke up one morning trying to prepare for lectures, and immediately he saw me. He was like, you are going to get opportunity to travel to Europe to have your master's, and that is where the Lord will bless you. Well, I took it with a pinch of salt. I am a very patriotic Ghanaian and an African at large. I believe I could make it in my home country. I don't need to travel whatsoever. And it was proven. I finished right after school, got into the bank, getting some money at least. I was able to fend for myself and live a good life. Talk of ministry, I was very active in ministry, going for evangelism in villages and all that. So there was nothing to really compel me to move from Ghana to the Netherlands. And randomly, God sent people who told me, the Lord is saying that you are supposed to go, but we don't know where you were supposed to go. At least three people on different counts. And the last which even shook me was I was walking on the street and a man just meets me and he tells me that you're going to travel. Before then, I was always dreaming and see myself in the plane and see a lot of, excuse my language, but just to explain, white faces, which means that I'm going to move out of my territory, in quotes. So until I surrendered and told the Lord that please have your way, nothing was happening. When I said that prayer, then the door started opening. Oh, master's degree with a partial scholarship, this and that and that. This person says, I will sponsor you, go, and all that. It was exciting. I was coming to no other place but the Netherlands. At least my life is going to be better than being in Ghana. Wait till I shock you. It wasn't so. My first 2 years was a real battle. There was lack. And I couldn't imagine myself living in a very rich country, and I was really in poverty. There was no money, there was nothing. All I could get was what to get me by for the day. But miraculously, to borrow Femi's words, miraculously, the Lord made a way. But the reason why I want to thank God is not, yes, we all of us have testimonies. The Lord made a way. I finished school. I got a job. I got a wife who is Dutch. That was never part of the plan. For me, in my mind, the extent of it was to come, learn, get exposure, take it back to Ghana, and become a better person. It wasn't, I never saw I was going to have a wife, talk alone, raise a family over here. But what I want to thank God for are the various interventions that God made. He spoke with me, and he directed me on countless occasions. Don't go there. Go there. Don't take this job. Take that job. And in as much as we want to belittle the innermost voice of the Holy Spirit within us, I'd want to encourage all of us to take it very serious. Because that is God right there talking to you and telling you what to do. To round up, my testimony was how I got my job. Now, after school, 6 months, I wasn't getting a corporate job to fit my profile. I did finance. I was a finance student. So I ended up in logistics. And now I'm a little bit big. When I was in the logistics, I didn't know I was going to give a testimony. I should have shown picture before and after. I trimmed. I became, because the work was very difficult for me. I've never done anything like that in my life. And I told myself, I am going to go back to Ghana. I am not staying in this country to do this. I am going to go back. And anytime I tell myself that I would dream, and in the dream I'm in Ghana, in my country, and I'm stranded. So we kept on praying, applying for jobs and all that. And through God's guidance, I just had a random call from someone who told me, oh, I just saw your CV on LinkedIn, and it's so nice, and there is a position somewhere. Would you want to come in? And I didn't understand, because I've been applying for, if I'm not exaggerating, close to 100 applications looking for a job after school. So all of a sudden, an angel somewhere calls me and tells me, we really have a job for you if you want to do that. Then the job came. I accepted it. Apparently, it was two jobs at the same time. The Lord told me, don't go there. And where the Lord told me not to go was giving me the highest salary. As a beginner, it was even too much for me. But the Lord was, don't go there, rather go there. And I stand here to testify of how the Lord has given me favor in the sight of my colleagues, and how he's doing amazing with me, everyone talking about what I'm doing. And if you ask myself, I am just being a regular 8-hour worker doing my own thing. But God has shown favor, grace, and I see a lot is going on. The last but not the least was last 2 years, when the Lord promised me, I am going to give you stability. I'm going to make you stable. Because I struggled too much, to the point that I remember one day I was praying. I told God, I believe you can do this. But seriously, I don't have the faith to keep up on when you are going to do this. Because it seemed delaying to the point that I lost the faith. But I know that God could do it. So help my unbelief. I remember that was a prayer I said. And lo and behold, when that message came last 2 years that is going to give me stability, that was when the job came in. That was when I met Mevrouw Rolien. And there were lots of connections. And I say this to the glory of God, that I couldn't have made a better decision than to go in for her. And for the circumstances to which we met was very odd. But back to the scripture that I read, and I want to read it again. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. I want to encourage all of us, let's spend time with God. Let's listen to the heart of God concerning our life. And let's not just take any step, but let's move where the Lord would have us move. For that place is where His glory is going to be revealed. Amen.
Well, I don't know if it's something that everyone is going to say, like, oh, the former thing was so good, what do I have to share? But it's actually not about us, it is about God, and that is really special and good. So, hi, I'm Esther. I want to thank Derek and Femi for sharing, and also also you for sharing, because it already was such a blessing to my heart, and I've written some things down, and I see what's funny is I also wrote some things down from my testimony, and what I see is that I can compare certain areas, absolutely not the story, but I can compare God. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And that is wonderful, because one thing that I wrote down is, even when you're struggling really, really hard, like I am at the moment already for some time, and it seems like this red thread throughout my life that I am struggling, and that is sometimes super frustrating, like why am I always struggling constantly again? But then God even reminds me, and I wrote it down, I am always the same. So even when you are struggling, no matter how deep you are, God is still as capable as when you are at your highest to help you out and to be the same and to work in you and through you. And one small testimony is me being at home with my child this week, my son of 16 years old, Avon, that was baptized here in this church a few years back by me, because he could choose who he wanted him to baptize, and he chose me. And this has been my prayer since I was pregnant unexpectedly at the age of 18, after I slept with then my boyfriend, because I was scared that otherwise he would break up with me. I was pressured into it, and I gave in, and I got pregnant, and I received this beautiful boy in a very poor situation. And so many years later, and I didn't even write this down, but that's a testimony in itself, my prayer was, Lord, if there is one thing that I can ask for my unborn baby, it is that this baby will have a relationship with you. And he is at 7 years old. He says to me, Mom, what if I do not believe what you believe? What if I do not believe that of God? And I prayed inside myself, and I said, God, this is such a young age. Why can't we wait 10 more years before this question appears? And I could not say that to him, of course, so I said, that is perfectly fine, because actually, and that this is the truth, you have to find out for yourself, because God wants a personal relationship with everyone, and also with you, and you cannot live your life on my faith, so you have to figure it out for yourself. And a few weeks later, he came back to me with this, and without me asking, and that already shows something really beautiful of God, because I believe that God pulls everyone towards his heart, because it's where you should be, close to his heart. That's why he created you, one of the reasons, and we cannot do without him. So he says, Mom, I believe it. I tried it out by praying, and I saw God answering something, so yeah, I do believe, and now I want to be baptized. And it wasn't allowed in the church that we were going to at that moment, and it was actually really sad, but that is how it can go with people. But Jesus even said already in the Bible, do not keep the children away from me. And I am so thankful for Renee and Derek Jan that when we entered this church, and I said it some years ago, my child wanted to be baptized, but he was not allowed, that they said, okay, we will have a conversation with him and he can get baptized. And we prayed and we talked, and he even got like the prayer freedom prayer, where you like cross every negative thing on a form, very, very much intensive situation where you have to sometimes sit for hours to see what happened in my life that was not of God, and that we can pray for this person to be set free from. So we did that with my child, and I am extremely proud of him and also extremely thankful to God, because that is God, because my child has no focus. I love him so much, but he has no focus and he doesn't like to study, but he sat down for this. So I come back now to us being in the house this week, and he has had his struggles in the last 2 years. My youngest brother passed away from suicide. The world is in a very bad space, I believe, and it affects young children, and he is still very young, and it's hard for him, and he sometimes asks me, Mom, where is God now, and why is God not turning this around? And it can be tough questions also to answer, but we just pray about it, and God does provide answers. And so he says to me, oh, Mom, I just woke up and my back is hurting so, so much. I'm going to take medicine for it. And I walk towards the kitchen, and the Holy Spirit says to me, why do you not pray for your child? Because every Thursday I go into the city to evangelize, and we pray for people. And the Holy Spirit says to me, this is the working area as well. Pray for your child. And I think to myself, is he going to allow me to pray, or is he going to say, ah, it's always you with God and everything. He's also in puberty, you know, so he doesn't always like it. But I said to him, okay, you can have medicine, but first I will pray with you. Is that all right? And he says, yes. And he sits down for it. And I put my hand on his back, and he even points. He says, it is over here. And I put my hand on there and I pray. And praying for healing is not something that comes easy to me. It is also not something that, although I've done it quite some times now, because God puts it on my heart, I often do not see the result. So that can be challenging, but we do it not out of our own strength. So we do it because God tells us to, and we have to trust God to do the work. So I pray for him. And I ask him after some time, do you feel anything? And he says, no. So, okay, I say, then we pray again. And it comes on my heart to really pray for healing for his soul, and to really pray for healing for his hurt and pain, and to really pray for God to bless him for the person that he is. And then I pray again for his back, and he is making all sorts of movements after it. And smiling, and I see the question marks at the same time in his eyes, like, and he's like, it's gone, and praise the Lord, right? Yeah. It is amazing, and it is a testimony that what happens right there is a testimony for my child as well. It is a reminder, and it shows him practically what is church. Although he is not here, he doesn't attend, that is also church. And it shows him who is the living God. So I actually already talked so much, and I wrote down a lot, but God also set me free from depression. I don't want to just squeeze it in. I've shared the story before. If you want to hear it, you can always ask me about it. It's an awesome testimony. Doesn't mean we sometimes don't struggle, but why did I actually got freed from depression? It was because of the testimony of other Christians who told me, oh, I had depression in the past. And I was like, what do you mean in the past? Oh, God healed me from that. And I was like, that's possible? I didn't go to God with it because I didn't know it was possible. And so the testimonies, yeah, Geoffrey already said it, they are so important, because this is what, when I went to God and I was like, if I can get free of this, I want to be free of this. And God did set me free of this. Let's see if there is still a very important thing that I can still share. Well, what I wrote down is expect more, because not only for ourselves, it is already said, but also for other people. When we have a child, or when we have people around us that live in the same house, or when we go into the street, there is so much need and there is so much hurt. Not only you in your life can be hurting, there is also a lot of hurt around you. And actually, yeah, there is one more thing. This is the last thing that I'm going to share. This week, I called a person that I met on the street while evangelizing, but he is not from this area. And we exchanged numbers because we knew that that was from God. And I called him crying, and I said, I do not see the light anymore, and I do not know what I'm fighting for anymore. And that was such a tough place to be in. And he talked with me for 30 minutes. I didn't call him, I'm wrong. I texted him, and he immediately called me. So he has a family, he has a busy life, but he called me immediately. And he always reminds me, this is church. That we are practically there for each other. He listened to me, he reminded me of scripture, and then he prayed for me. And today, I got a phone call from someone in South Africa who is an 18-year-old boy who is not loved by his parents as he should be, and he is not able to live with them, and his aunt took him in, and now she's kicking him out. And he calls me and, hey, are you okay? And he starts crying. And he says, no, I'm really not okay. They're kicking me out and I have nowhere to go. Now, this is someone in South Africa and I am here in the Netherlands. And what can I do for this poor boy who is also a child of God? I can practically text people. And I will. I am going to do that today. I got this phone call this morning, but I also listened to him and I spoke life into his life and I prayed with him. And he said, thank you. And I said, is there anyone else in your surroundings that you can talk about this with? Because that's important. And he said, not really. And that is when you realize, if I didn't pick up the phone, who was he going to talk to? And who was going to pray with him? Don't ever underestimate what is your place in the kingdom. You are important. You have purpose. Spend personal time with God to figure out what it is. And it doesn't matter if you're old. I'm 34, and I still haven't figured it completely out, what God really wants. But still, I can see that God is working in me and through me in building his kingdom. And he wants the same with you.
Yes, thanks everyone. It's really great to like hear what God is doing in people's lives. We still have a few more minutes, but I'm just going to ask that we keep it short, and preferably to one testimony or two max. But I still want to hear from more people, so please, if you have something to share, it can be short, doesn't need to be a very big story. You don't need to have moved a mountain or something, but as small as it is, it's still important to God, and God still can be glorified in that. So Jed is up next. I'm sure she'll be very short. So someone else, please come through and share your testimony as well. Thanks.
Okay. My name is Jade, for anyone who doesn't know me. And I feel like God has sent me up here to represent the product of evangelizing. So I grew up in America for 18 years, and I didn't know God. My family wasn't full of faith or religious or anything. And then I came to Holland. And then long story short, I met Blessing on the street. And after like 4 or 5 months, we didn't even speak to each other. Then we had a coffee and she spoke some word into me, even though I thought that's nice, but okay. And then after that, a few days later, something like really tragic happened to me. Or someone in my life, and it really put me down into the floor, and I thought, okay, what else to go upon the word that this woman has just brought to me? So I ended up going to small group for almost a year, and it was nice. We drank tea. They talked about a lot, but nothing ever moved me in that time. And then one day, I remember it was in October, and I had came back from Spain a few days earlier. I thought, okay, I will go to church now. I don't know what I will get out of it, but here we go. And I've been in a church before, so I wasn't surprised by what was happening. But we used to have church in the other room there, so this didn't happen here, but in there. And I remember, of course, Derkion, or whoever is giving the sermon, always gives the little spiel at the end about if you've never given your life to Christ, blah, blah, blah. It's not blah, 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 it's important. But my point is, I didn't think anything of it until I thought he was talking to me. And I was really sitting there shaking. I was so having lots of like physical reactions to it. I was crying and thinking, what is this? And then there was really a voice inside of me that was like, okay, just go up there. And I thought, no, all these people are sitting there. Now I'm a teacher, very outgoing person, so I'm not usually scared to talk. But I was very frightened to go stand up there. And the whole time I went to small group, my thought process was, what if I don't want this? What if I want to go back on it? Well, I joke about that today because, as all of you know, there's no such thing that exists on wanting to go back from living a life with Christ. So long story short, I went up there and gave my life to Christ at that moment. And then as I was cycling away with Blessing, I said to her, it's very strange because I've had a very full life, you know, like before Christ, not to say that I don't need him, but my life wasn't anything horrible or tragic before Christ. But I said to her, like, I feel like I will never be alone again, even though I didn't think I was alone before. And one previous thing that I want to go back on is when I was 16, I went to Haiti for 11 days. And that was the first time I experienced Christ, but I didn't know it. And I was sitting in this very small shack made out of like materials that were very picked up from the streets because these people didn't have a lot. And we were there on a Sunday, and so we put a nice dress on, and then we went into the church. And I remember all of the, like, the church was set up in a certain way, so the elders were in the front and the children were in the back, and they had made a space for the people, like my team who was there. And we sat there, and it was really, really hot, probably the hottest place I've ever been. And I remember being very cold, and I just couldn't believe the magnitude of the presence that was there. And I can describe it now because I know what it was, but before I was really thinking, like, what is this? Now, this ring I wear on my chest didn't mean something when I got it. It was really just the group I had gone with. They were a church group. They just gave everyone a ring who like did the program. And so I just put it on a necklace because I thought this will be a safe place for it. Now, that was when I was 16. I'm 22 this month, and I've never taken it off. And now I guess a year ago, realized that God had bound himself to my chest that day. And it's kind of my whole life with Christ ties together. And there was many more stories before Haiti that I can look back on and see that he was really there. So not that this defines what Christ is, but he really has bound himself around my neck. And I am not good with verses, but I know there is a verse about something like this. So that's my testimony. Evangelize and people will hear you. Thank you.
Wow, so many testimonies that they're so uplifting. I felt compelled to come and also share my testimony, and I felt like the Lord telling me that, I won't do him justice not to share. So my journey begins with this. When I moved to the Netherlands, in 2017 of September. I had just finished high school, and I actually came here to study law at the University of Groningen. And at this point in time, I didn't know what my purpose is. I had just started growing in God. But the very surprising thing is, a few months before, I was just praying to God and saying, Lord, I want your will to be done. But I remember when praying this, it didn't make sense, but I'll just pray it. And at a point, it was in a dream that one day God said, go to Utrecht. So I woke up and I spelt I don't know what that word is, I didn't even know it existed in my life. As a Zimbabwean girl, grew up in Africa, don't know what that word is. And I woke up, I wrote it down, and I'm like, okay, let me go to Google. I went to Google, and then I saw, oh, it's a city in the Netherlands. And I'm like, well, I'm going to Groningen. So I was like, God, what are you saying, right? Put that aside. I then came to Groningen. So I started attending classes, and at this time, I felt the Lord just calling me. I just wanted to grow my relationship with God. I just felt like I was in a phase where I was alone. I had no friends. I didn't know anybody. And I went through a kind of a depressed phase of just culture shock and everything. And I began praying. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what is happening. The more I'm getting closer to you is the more this degree that I'm doing, so-called law, is not making sense. I'm only passing a few courses. Will I even get through the year? And I started to think to myself, okay, you came all the way from Zimbabwe, and you can't just say I'm going back home right now, and that's not an option right now, even to tell my parents that, you know what, I want to drop this degree, especially my dad, who already saw himself calling me a lawyer, you know? So I was really in between that, and I remember going to God and I was telling him, okay, God, I don't know what's happening. Why is it the more I'm getting closer to you is the more things are going left, you know? And then one day I was like, oh, God, speak to me. You've got to speak to me somehow. And then this is how the Holy Spirit opened my eyes. He's like, you went to study law, but I did not lead you there. And that was not my purpose for you. And that's not what's in line with your calling, your purpose, and your destiny. And I'm like, okay, then, Lord, lead me. What is it that you have called me to do then? So if I'm not a lawyer, so what did you call me to? Right? Guys, I was so shocked. I remember attending I went to a church called Vineyard then, and they had a student worship night. They always had a student worship night, and I'm so grateful for that. And I remember I went that day, and I'm like, God, you just have to speak to me somehow. I don't want to go here, but you just have to speak to me. And then one guy called Coleman, I think he was an exchange student from America. So it was during worship, and then he just walked up to me and said, I have a message to tell you. God told me that he loves you and he's going to lead you. I just looked at him, I just started bawling and I started crying. I'm like, well, before I came here, I was talking to God and I said, you should talk to me and show me you love me and tell me something. And he told me. And I'm like, wow, so God, you are listening. And from that day onwards till now, my prayer life changed. And so then I started asking the Lord to lead me now. Show me where to go. And guess what came up again? Utrecht. So that's where my journey to Utrecht began. The Lord then led me to the Hoge School Utrecht. He's like, go study there. And he told me this specific degree. Okay, I can't go into details, but I'm getting to my testimony part of it. So I'm now studying a degree called Creative Business at the HU, University of Applied Sciences. And if I'm to look at the list of schools, I think the HU is the least ranked in the Netherlands. And I'm like, oh, wow, God, so from Groningen to Hoge School Utrecht, wow, okay. But in this process, I think God was just working in me. He was breaking certain walls in me. He was breaking certain walls of pride in me. it was a process he took me through. And so I reached Utrecht, right? Then I was in my first year, this was now 2018 into 2019, studying creative business. I began facing challenges. At one point in time, I began to pray. I was like, God, what is happening? And then the Lord revealed to me that I'm going through what is called witchcraft attacks. And I'm like, Lord, where is this coming from? And then he said, there is one of your lecturers in your class that is on a mission, and she's a witch. And what she's doing is she's speaking words that are hanging onto people in this classroom, and it is making it's making these students fail and not understand themselves, be confused, and she's just on an assignment. And at one point I dreamt in a dream when the Lord showed me my lecturer literally calling my name, and then it was as if she was looking at some kind of a pentagon, and she was calling my name. And I'm like, wow, why is she calling my name? So to me, coming from Africa, Zimbabwe, it's a very spiritual environment, definitely. There is spiritual wickedness. I've seen it, I've encountered it. But in my head, I'm like, okay, witches are only black people. I'm sorry to say. Sorry. No offense, but to my surprise, God is like, we are all still human beings, and the spiritual realm is still a spiritual realm, right? And I was like, wow. Wow, so this is actually what is happening. And I was like, but why would you send me, God, here to do this? Why? You told me to come here, and now I'm facing all these things. And to be honest, nobody knew. Even me attending Shofar here, nobody knew what I was going through. But one thing I remember is God took me through. And I remember praying, and the Lord began to teach me how to walk in the authority of Christ. And I began to command, and I was like, Lord, I take authority in this class in the name of Jesus. And I began to speak the authority of Christ Jesus, and I'm like, Lord, this lecturer, as she comes in class, let her speak positive words, because she would come at a point where the Holy Spirit was like, just notice her words. She'd say, oh, get to work, you little fools. Oh, get to work, you cowards. And she would curse like that, and people would just laugh as if it's normal. But the Holy Spirit was telling me, no, these words are actually hatching onto people, and they're becoming a reality. This is witchcraft. So I began to take authority in class, and I began to pray, and the Lord was teaching me how to fight and how to war. And I remember coming across a scripture in Psalms 18. It says, I will teach your fingers to war and your hands to fight. And so I began to declare, I was like, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I am going to get this degree. You sent me here, and by any means, I will get it, and I know why you sent me here, Lord. Although it's hard, but I'll fight through it. So I began to pray, people. And then a few weeks down the line, she began to have issues with students. Students began to, I don't know, certain issues that just came about. People started to complain about her, and yeah, she just started having issues with people. People were writing letters to the school about this teacher. And the next month, she says, I'm resigning. I found a job elsewhere in Japan, and I'm moving. But to me, that was God's intervention. So I just want to thank God for taking me through and delivering me through witchcraft oppression within my school, within my classroom, and opening my eyes to see that things are not just what they are. I need to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. I need to be sensitive to my spiritual environment and to walk in the authority of Christ Jesus that he has for me. And so I journeyed through on my first year into my second year. And I'm like, Lord, thank you. Even though I had research to do, I was like, Lord, I'll still do these research. And he's carrying me through, and I'm passing by God's grace. So I was like, God, thank you for delivering me through these witchcraft oppressions. And one thing is, the people in the kingdom of darkness can see the light that is upon the children of God. And they come on a mission and an assignment, especially because sometimes you may not know that you've got the light of Christ in you that is affecting things around you. And by that, the enemy can in turn point and start attacking you just to get you out of the way, because the light, that you may not have to say anything, but the light of Christ that is in you is bringing light in your spheres, is bringing upon peace. Sometimes I don't necessarily have to talk to people about Jesus, but me smiling at them, giving them hugs, working together as a group or doing group projects, something just happens to them. There's a peace that comes upon them, but the enemy sees that. And yeah, but I just want to thank God for that. And then there's another attack. Okay, this is the last one, sorry. There's another one of these demonic and witchcraft attacks the Lord saves me from. There was one guy, again, he's not black, he's very much white and Dutch. So he's a magician, right? And he would come to class and do his not monkey tricks, but he would do these magic tricks. And I would see this is actually magic. And he would literally put a pen from his left ear and it would come out from his right ear. And people would just laugh about it. But I didn't laugh. And I didn't pay attention. I didn't show him that it's funny, because he wanted everyone to laugh. But I was the only one who was not laughing. So that made him curious. And he's like, okay, why is this black girl not laughing? And then he walked up to me and he's like, you know what, I can do a trick. Let me show you how to do a trick. I'm like, no, thank you, it's fine. It's okay, no, don't worry. Then, randomly, he started sitting next to me. He would come to class and he would see where I was sitting, and then he came to sit next to me. So there's this one day that he came to sit next to me, and then, randomly, my laptop just jammed. Like, the screen went off. I put on my charger, I put it on, my screen just went off and we had to type. And then this guy's like, oh, I can help you, guess what, I can do some magic and your laptop will start working. So at that moment in time, I was like, yeah, sure, fine, whatever, do whatever you do. Guys, do you know what he did? This is what he just did. He was like, no. And then in 2 seconds, my screen went on. He's like, ta-da, you see, I told you. But to me, something just didn't make sense. I felt like my laptop was different. I don't know, I can't explain it. My laptop was different. It felt heavier than normal. Yes, it was on, but something was just different. When I went home, that same night, I had a dream. And in this dream, there was a snake that was chasing after me. And this snake was an electric snake that was using technology. And in this dream, this snake came out of my laptop and was chasing after me. I was like, God, here we are again. I'm like, God, why me? Why is it just me? What is just happening? What is going on? And guess what the Holy Spirit said? The Holy Spirit said, wake up, pray, and command that snake out of your laptop. I'm like, okay, where's the link? And then he's like, you asked someone to fix your laptop for you, didn't you? And he did magic, right? I'm like, okay, yeah, he did. And then he led me into a repentance. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. Out of desperation, I wanted my laptop to work. I'm like, okay, fine, do your monkey tricks, whatever. That's nothing. Let's see how it's going to work. And it worked. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, and I began to plead the blood of Jesus. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Then I began to pray, and I'm like, in the name of Jesus, any serpent, any spirit that could have gone into my laptop through this guy doing his magic stuff, I command it out in the name of Jesus, out of my laptop. And whatever assignment you're on after my life or after anybody in my class or in this school, in this environment, I command you out in the name of Jesus. And I began to speak to that guy spiritually in the name of Jesus, because he would not come to class. He would just come to do magic stuff, and he would not be listening and just distracting people. And I'm like, so what is he here for? You know, I said, Lord, if he's here that I should pray for him for salvation, then show me. But if he's here on an assignment of wickedness, then he should leave this class in the name of Jesus. And so after that day, the next day we get into class, he didn't want to sit next to me anymore. Something just randomly changed. And from that day onwards, I didn't see him again till today. So it's been a difficult journey. But one thing I just stand upon is the word of the Lord, that it's very important to hear the Lord speak to you when he sends you somewhere. Because when you begin to encounter challenges, you stand upon the word of the Lord. The Lord, you sent me here. I didn't come on my own means or on my own accord. And so there's an assignment you, of course, sent me here for. And it's hard. Sometimes we could go through hard things that will stop your progress. Yeah, I'm here to get a degree, but I'm getting these attacks. I'm like, okay, so you don't want me to get a degree or a job? No. But in the process, the Lord was building my faith. He was growing me spiritually and teaching me to walk in the authority of Christ Jesus and to open me up to the realities of the spiritual realm, that sometimes if you don't use your authority, the enemy will stamp all over you. If you do not use the authority I've given you through Christ Jesus, you just be an empty ball that the enemy is using you to. So that has been my journey, and the Lord began to lead me to other things. I began to tell the Lord, okay, Lord, lead me. I began to ask him about my future, my marriage, my children, where I will work, and to the glory of God, he's been slowly opening me up to these things and helping me trust in him. So it's been a difficult journey, but I've seen growth, I've seen Jesus, I've seen his power, and there's a lot of other things, but I just felt like sharing this, and I give God all the glory and all the honor. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, everyone. I think in the interest of time, I think we'll close there. Thank you so much for everyone who shared, and I hope like we continue with this attitude and with this spirit of sharing testimonies, because they're really powerful things, and these stories are powerful not only to remind us but also to just build our faith in God. So ask the band to come up maybe for just one more song, two songs, okay? Yeah, but before they do, I'll just quickly pray, and then the band will sing some songs. Dear Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you, Lord, for the testimonies we've heard. Thank you, Father, for how you've worked in different people's lives to heal, to bring just comfort and provision to different people, Lord, through the different circumstances that they were in. We thank you, Lord, that we could see your hand at work in all these stories that we've heard today. Father, our prayer is that this will not just be stories that we'll forget about once we leave this room, Lord, but we'll continue to reflect upon and continue to remember of how good you are and the things that you're capable of doing. And when those times come, Lord, when we feel like our back is against the wall and there's no way out, Lord, we pray that we'll be able to remember some of these things, some of these stories we've heard, to remind ourselves of what you can do and what you've done, Lord. We pray, Lord, that as we go into this week, may you go with us, Father, and may you continue to speak to us and do miracles, wonders, and signs in our lives, Lord, that we bring glory to your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.